And we welcome you in here to the latest edition of the Sacramento Kings podcast. Presented by Hoopball on the Hoopball Podcast Network. I'm Damian Barling. She is Jill Adge. We are live on Twitch. But I'm sure most of you are listening to us through our podcast feed. We are thrilled that you're here with us. And it's awfully quiet, Jill. A couple of games canceled this week. Two of them against the Memphis Grizzlies, which I was kind of eager to see as the Grizzlies quietly got hot. They had won like five in a row, and I thought this would be a nice little measuring stick for the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, the games get canceled. Grizzlies' momentum is kind of halted, and now we're listening to Luke Walton and the guys talk about practice.
Practice? Yeah, they were just getting guys coming back from injury as well.
Yeah, Jai had just come back too, right?
Yeah, and then they had said that Jaren Jackson Jr. was, it's always the short, you know, he's coming shortly, but I mean, some had predicted in the next couple of weeks. So they were starting to seemingly start to roll, you know, on all cylinders. But I mean, props to them too, because in a hard West, there was no, you know, oh, we're injured, so, yeah, you know, we're going to give the excuse. Like, no, they're young, and their backups came in, and they're fighting. They're still fighting for minutes against each other, you know. It's one of those things, too, where because they have so many young guys, those guys are going hard because, you know, like, there's no guaranteed minutes. And so you're seeing guys play three games straight and then sitting the next two, and then, you know, depending on who's hot. Yeah. So they've been fun to watch.
That's one of the things Kenny was saying on today's show, that the one thing you don't question about the Grizzlies is toughness. Like, you don't have to question their toughness, their grit. You don't have to question their competitiveness. Like, you never have to look at them sideways. Like, fellas, why aren't we playing here? Like, they're always scrapping.
And it's a completely new team from, you know, the grit and grind that was there years ago. But yeah, they have that set culture that if you're coming here, like, this is the style we play, no matter the coach, no matter the players, it seems to stick. And so, yeah, and you've seen them where they've been able to retool and still stay afloat, yeah, unlike, you know, a place like here where it's
I love how you tried to avoid saying know,
no matter how many coaches here, how many front office, you know, people you bring in, no matter how many players, it's still the same style and the same excuses for, you know, 16 years. Even before our stretch, you heard the same stuff even prior to that. Like, that's just how it's been in Sacramento.
Yeah. And in full transparency, I didn't buy Memphis before the year. They were kind of a team, obviously, you know, your last impression of them is awful. They get to the bubble and they're just terrible. But at the same time, it was like, I don't know that I'm all in on this roster being as competitive, because they really overachieved last year to start the season. You know what I mean? Like, heading into the bubble, they were leading into March 11th. That's why Kings fans will always be curious in a number of other teams. We saw what, you know, because the fact is the Portland Trailblazers weren't going to make the run that they made in the bubble in March. They weren't healthy enough yet. So with the Kings playing the way that they were and the Memphis Grizzlies playing the way that they were, it was kind of like okay, like what's really going to happen here? And the Grizzlies somehow managed to carry that poor play all the way through the suspension of the season, all the way down to Orlando, and then through that time there with Orlando ultimately losing the playoff spot to the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean,
where you look at a team like Toronto, who had been able to, you know, weather any storm, and they developed their guys, but they completely lost their bench. And so they're seeing the ramifications now of losing, and not even just their bench, but like a lot of their bench have had to step in, you know, to starting roles. And so it's just their depth, like their depth is gone. But that, to me, I'm more shocked by their record than I am like how Phoenix has managed to stay afloat. But because Toronto had seemed to have that same kind of thing where it was like, no matter who was out, someone was stepping up, you know, and it's still early. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure moves will be made there. But you saw Alex Len was let go because Chris Boucher, you know, stepped up.
Ballin. And King's killer. Yeah.
Yep. And he's another guy where you saw the flashes of him. He just never got the minutes, right? And now he's getting the minutes and you're seeing the production, which is always nice. Where I was going to say, normally I would say young guy, but he's 27. It's just he hasn't had the opportunity. Where, yeah, to me, that's another thing where I hate all the Bagley stuff and he's a bust. Like, the kid's 21. Like, you're seeing a 27-year-old, like, finally getting his shot and producing. Is, I know he's the number two pick, and so it's frustrating and all that, but to me, I just hate calling 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds, and even sometimes a little bit older than that, complete bust because they haven't gotten the opportunity to...
Well, we've talked. I think we talked about this leading into the last game, and I know Kenny and I talked about it. You know, coming out of the Knicks game, was a guy that we'd really liked, and you and I talked about Julius Randle's an all-star. Julius Randle also might be the poster child for patience, in that he was good. Like, he was good in L.A. Like, he was good with the Lakers.
And his last year specifically with Luke.
Yeah, and it was like, I think it was like 15-9 or something. But you look at his numbers now, and it's like, no, this dude is like an Eastern Conference All-Star. Like, he's legitimately playing well, and I don't know if he had to find the right coach, the right team. I don't know what the situation was with Julius Randle, but you see that it ultimately, like, hey, it paid off, it worked. Like, look at, like, he's playing phenomenal, and I think if everybody and it's so difficult because of what you just said with Marvin. Number two overall pick, plus the players that were taken after him. Like, if you just exercise some patience, man, I think that it's there with him.
Yeah. And the thing is I don't even think they're using Randle in a totally different way than how Fizz used him last year. It's just his efficiency wasn't there. I mean, those assists weren't there. They tried, you know what I mean? And he has a higher turnover rate because of that stuff. But to me, it's almost... he's taking on that new part of the game and it slowed down a little bit for him, right? Even though he had been in the league, he'd never needed to be that assist guy from the top of the key, right? Or the point forward that he's now, where the whole offense is running through him legitimately. And it's fun to watch. I mean, I don't know how much people have been able to watch New York, but I mean, he has totally surprised me in the next step he's taken. Where, again, like you were saying, these guys are young. I mean, and we've talked about this in previous ones before, is you think that they always, okay, they're in the NBA, they should have the fundamentals, you know, already in place. And we had talked about this being AAU and 1 year in college and things like that, that it just takes some people longer. And they never had to do these things. They only had to be the scorer. They only had to be the defensive stopper. And now they're trying to find, in the NBA, new pieces, you know, to their game if it's being asked of them. I mean, Buddy Hield, he was the sharpshooter, right? And last year he was having to to totally create on the offense.
Yeah,
whether that was him or scheme, we hear conflicting, right? But you saw what happened when a guy had to completely, you know, was trying to add new features to his game that was justified or not justified.
It didn't click. Marvin isn't another one of those guys. Is, you know, we'll talk about the Orlando Magic coming up here, because I feel like Orlando, you know, the Kings' opponent tomorrow night, is, I feel like they are what we thought they were. Like, they're pretty much what they were last year. They're going to linger around, I think, the 8, 9, 10 spot. They're going to be a game 2, 3,
a
4 below
Steve Clifford team. Right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like, pretty much. I think that's what they're ultimately going to be around. But, you know, with the Kings having this stretch of days off, you know, Luke Walton spoke at practice yesterday about how the team's developing. I want you to hear this.
Yeah, we got a long way to go. I am very pleased with the progress that some of the guys have made. I think Marvin's made huge strides. I think Tyrese continues to not only impress, but he continues to grow and learn from from the experience. I think De'Aaron's, you know, coming a long way. And you can go down the line. So, you know, there's some things that I'm very pleased to see. And then there's other parts as a team and as a group. Some of our Some of our games, we clearly didn't play the way we, you know, we needed to. And then there's other, you know, there's some big wins, you know, the Denver wins, the Phoenix wins, and some hard fought wins in that Chicago game and the New York game against, you know, just those wire to wire type of battles. So it's been a wild start to the season for us. And you know, we're at a place that as long as we're continue to see improvement and the team is going to continue to get better, you know, that's what we're trying to accomplish right now.
Luke very regularly tries to find the positive in everything, but two things that I want to touch on that he said there. First, with Marvin Bagley, he said he was pleased with the progression of Marvin Bagley so far this season, and I think he's speaking specifically probably over the last four or five games. How do you feel about the way Marvin has progressed over this season so far? Because we've seen him in a lot of different situations.
I think the fact that, to me, his progression alone, that you see them even being comfortable, right? Him now being there in at the end of games, where we know for Luke, that's a big trust thing. We saw it with Buddy last year, like...
We saw it with Buddy a couple nights ago.
Right? I mean, that's right. Yes. And Hallie coming in 100%. There go the dogs.
Oh, yeah. Now we can see Gracie get worked up. That's all right, Gracie. Calm down, baby. We're just talking Kings. Gracie does not like it when we talk bad about, you know, when Marvin Bagley comes up. I feel like Gracie's favorite player is Marvin Bagley.
She always starts.
Yep. She sure does. That's all right.
I know. The other dog's being good and laying up there, but she's gone. No, and so I think you're seeing that trust.
It's so funny. I didn't even
know
you had another dog because Gracie's the one who's always making the noise. Gracie's pretty much the
part of the show. Molly's laying peacefully on the bed. But yeah, no, I think you're starting to see the trust and progression there. And I would even say my whole thing was you had a guy who was coming in without playing for a year. Like, he essentially had a year off, right? It was 13 games, I think. So he's looked to me like a guy who hadn't played for a year. It's the same way when Harry Giles was coming back. It was like, oh, remember, the guy's had how many games in a span of like 3 years, right? Where it was like off, on, off, on. And it's hard to get a progression or any kind of consistency or the game staying at, you know, a certain flow level for you where it's not coming too fast, it's not coming too slow, like where your comfort level, right, is there. And I think we're starting to see it. And even on the defensive end, the kid's not perfect, and I don't expect him to be. We knew coming in from college that defense was going to be, right, one of the issues. That was one of his weaknesses. But I think every game we're seeing a little bit more, and we're seeing – more reads and things like that. Yeah, he's making mistakes, but he's making a mistake that anyone who's had a year and 30 games in the league expect to make, who wasn't coming in as that kind of player. I think you're starting to see his hop come back a little bit more. I think you still with something with his kind of hops that I think too is he's still having to work on the timing of it. There are times where he's on, and then there are games where his timing isn't quite there yet. And again, I think that's a you thing and the feel for the game and depending on the physicality and the bodies you're playing that game, right? Like we saw him against Randall. I mean, there was no shot. Like, you were not stopping him. He was overbodying you. Same with a guy like Steven Adams. If he ends up having to play center and gets put on that, you're going to see the same kind of issues. But I mean, overall, I'm pleased with the guy. I know there's a lot of hate and frustration out there, but I'm choosing to look at him not as a number two pick, but as a kid that's played a year and, you know, not even a half in the league. And am I seeing progressions that way?
I think Marvin would be a fascinating guy to look like. Like, we're 16 games in to this season right now. And one, he's played all of them. Two, once we get past game 21, if we get into game 22, that'll be the longest stretch of his time playing basketball in the NBA, 22 games. And yeah. I think we can revisit a conversation about Marvin Bagley in game 40, in 50, in 60. And I think that's where you'll really start to be able to get an evaluation of, okay, there's, we know, or I feel like we should know there's something here with Marvin. I'm, you know, just, I hate using this term because I feel like it has a different connotation to it, but I am Team Bagley. Like I think Marvin is going to be a very fine player. And I think we'll have a much, much better idea of what type of player he is by the time we get to game 50, 60, 70. Cause right now he's sitting at, what was it? 13. He's sitting at 13-8. I'm not mad at that. Like, I don't have a problem with 13-8. Like it often goes back to like, what were your expectations for him headed into the season? Like, what did you believe Marvin Bagley was going to be as the season started? What were the numbers that you kind of set for yourself? Because if you had told me 13-8, I'd probably wanted maybe like 13-10, but I'm not going to be mad at 13-8.
And I think if he was coming off the bench, you'd have that. No problem, right? This is coming in, you know, as a starter and still trying to figure out his spot, I think, with this team genuinely too. And his feel in the offense and things
like
that.
Rashawn Holmes.
And playing with Rashawn Holmes. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, again, it's like it always is here. It's what, with the changes, you know, is it going to be a long-term thing? Is it not? I don't know. Because then you have to expect if someone else is going to come in, then you're going to have to see him get used to the same kind of thing. Yeah. And the first year, a lot of it was, what was it? Belly started, right? And I'm trying to, was it him and Costa? Who? I'm trying to think who was,
Costa
who was on
Kufis.
The bench with him. Wasn't that when Costa was still here?
It like, may
and
have been.
And that's an odd pair, right? Like, but I think you still had minutes where they paired him and Belly together too. So you'd have some stretch before he really started working on that outside shot. But that's another thing too, is his outside shot. He has shown progression there. Where there's still a lot of people that think he's not going to be the center, but he's going to end up being the stretch four that people have wanted for years. So it'll be.
You know what cracked me up about Costa Kufis is
I
like
blocked that Costa, time from my memory.
Yeah, Bryce chimes in on the chat, said he's black. But what's funny about Costa Kufis to me is he'd come in, have like 12-10. And you wouldn't remember any of it. Like, Costa Kufis could play like 29 minutes and you wouldn't remember a single solitary minute that he played.
Because they always focused on like the one, you know, cement hand that he had underneath the basket that would have been a sure dunk or something, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of JaVale McGee mistake that he made at some point during the game. But his floater push shots were, I mean, we talk about Holmes
legendary.
Having that floater push shot, but Costa was doing that from like the free throw line, like where he's just
Costa's most memorable moment with the Kings is that meme. Like that meme that's out there with him where he's like confused and then it's like he's coming to some sort of realization and you can't really figure out what's going on. But like that is Costa Kufis's shining moment.
The other one that whenever I hear his name, I think of that picture with him and CJ McCollum from high school. Did you ever see that?
CJ McCollum and Costa Kufis? I don't think so, but I know what I'm Googling right here during our.
You would not believe what CJ looks like. Like
why have I not seen the face?
But he is like Isaiah Thomas size compared to the rest of the kids.
You said they're in high school? Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by this. I've got to see this. Oh, Costa Kufis, CJ McCollum. Well, that doesn't appear to be high school. I might. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that is. No. Okay. Here it is. Oh my goodness. Oh wow! Is there?
Got this one where he's like right where he's kind of like bent over,
yeah,
with the ball like trying to chase it, and he looks like 5 feet. I think he was like 5'2" or 5'3". They said like he was super tiny.
This is spectacular. Why have I never seen this before?
I'm happy I introduced that to you.
You sure did. Oh my goodness, CJ is like a legitimate child. Wow. I am blown away. I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. Nobody can see what I'm looking at, and most of you are listening to this on podcast form. And
please,
go
look it up if you're.
Everybody,
at,
go
you're
look at this.
Live.
If for some reason, and I guess I'm late to this party. If you've never seen this before, you've got to see it. It is CJ looks like an absolute child out there with a bunch of grown folks playing basketball. That's spectacular. Thank y'all for listening, and thank y'all for watching on Twitch. We're going to do these podcasts pretty regularly here on Twitch, and I think we're going to do we might go post-game on Friday night, but of course, post-game is going to be like 7 because the game starts at 4:30, but we're going to try to do these pretty regularly here on the ESPN 1320 Twitch channel. The other thing of what Luke Walton said there was his obvious praise for Tyrese Haliburton, whose role continues to grow. You had mentioned Tyrese coming out, Buddy going in, and that
for the
fourth
ones
quarter
that were watching that
against the.
To know, I don't know if
against that is absolutely spectacular. I think everybody that's watching has actually looked it up. Like that is spectacular. I love that so much.
That's what I think of when I think of Costa and CJ. Like that's my and where
so
they are
good.
Now.
Tyrese Haliburton getting the nod for Buddy Hield in the fourth quarter. And there was a moment in that fourth quarter where you could tell Luke Walton was really frustrated with a particular defensive set. Bagley comes out. Tyrese Haliburton goes in. There's been Buddy just hasn't been good offensively. I know the Kings Herald spent some time talking about how his efficiency has gotten a little bit better. His shooting percentages has gotten a little bit better over the course of the last handful of games. But overall, I don't think Buddy Hield's season can be considered a success right now. He's sitting at 15 points. I don't think he's making as many mistakes as he has in years past. I don't think he's making as many like frustrating turnovers. I know he's very clearly making some mistakes on the defensive end that are obviously frustrating Luke Walton, as we saw in the New York Knicks game. But are we potentially in a situation, and Luke Walton talked about before the Knicks game, he was talking about potential changes coming, we look at everything, and there may be some changes coming. Here's what Luke Walton said. This was a couple of days ago. This was after the win against the New York Knicks. Luke Walton was asked about, hey, like, are you still looking at potentially making some changes? Here's what Luke Walton said.
You know, we still look at everything, you know, whether I'm talking with my staff or I'm talking with Monty in the front office, brainstorming different ideas. We're always coming up with different plans, and then it's up to me to make the call on what I think is best for our group at the time. So coming off a good game, a pretty solid performance against the Knicks, you're not going to see any changes coming out of that as far as the starting lineup, but even rotations and groupings, we're still looking into those type of things too. And there might continue to be some changes with that.
So the funny thing about that is Luke, at least in the and I'm on most of these calls. I wasn't on the one today because it started while the show was still going on. But he's never asked about a change to the starting lineup. Like no one has asked him that. They've asked him
specifically.
Yeah, they're asking if he's considering changes. He knows what it means. We all know what it means. We're asking if Tyrese Haliburton is going to wind up in the starting lineup, if they've considered putting Tyrese Haliburton in the starting lineup. And most people are of the belief that would be at the expense of Buddy Hield. And I wonder, Luke has acknowledged, he said this earlier in the season, in that, we're not getting off to bad starts. Like, if we were getting off to really bad starts, it'd be something that we have to evaluate right away. He's like, I don't feel like we're getting off to really bad starts. Could we see a situation like we saw in New York where Buddy starts the game? He starts the third quarter, but ultimately it's Tyrese that gets a bulk of the minutes, and it's Tyrese that finishes the game.
I think so, and I think that's how it should be, honestly. I mean,
okay.
If the game is flowing that way, that's mm-hmm. how I think it should be. And clearly, Tyrese was on it defensively that game where Buddy was.
He was
not.
So instrumental in that game, in that Knicks win.
When he baited that steal,
yeah,
towards the end. That was beautiful. But that's why I want him in there getting those minutes and doing that. And it's not even like it's all about the minutes for Tyrese right now, or I mean, yes, we're all about growing up and stuff, but he's legitimately earned it, right? I mean, he's earning that, and he's earning that trust. And I think we have to stop looking at the, oh, they're a vet, they're older, they've necessarily earned it, because I'm sorry, but nobody on this team has done anything with this team, right? To earn that kind of attitude, to me.
Sure.
I can see where they've earned it on other teams, you know, Corey Joseph, when he was with the Pacers, when he was with Toronto, when he was with the Spurs, like, I get it. Yes, but on this team, like, you're even seeing his minutes go down some for Halliburton and, you know, depending on the lineup. And I think it's earned. Nothing against Corey Joseph, but I think Halliburton's earned that as well. I also think you're seeing Hallie play better minutes when he is with Fox compared to when he is playing with Joseph as well. I mean, last week we talked about that too, where we had said that we thought that Buddy should be coming off the bench, that he was in that slump, and we thought he would have, you know, he would be able to get out of it by coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And it's hard to really know what this team's philosophy this year. Like, we hear it's not about the wins and losses. We hear it's about the growth. Like, I can't imagine.
I don't know who we hear that from, though, by the way.
I'm sure Luke wants to win and wants to save his job, right? So it's like, you're hearing Belly sitting for personal reasons, and then you're hearing, oh no, he's not sitting for personal reasons, it's for you. So again, you're hearing mixed messages. And then today, oh, Whiteside's feeling better and back. Thanks, Metu. We appreciate what you have brought to the court, you know, this last couple weeks. But it was clearly said that Whiteside is now gonna be, you know, the backup regardless of whatever you did. Again, that's fine, but you're still getting the mixed messages based on who's reporting what. So,
and it's funny how interchangeable,
to get him out there to for trade stuff, you know, who knows? Because Brooklyn right now, I don't know how many second round picks they have, but they only have one center on their team. They sure could use a Whiteside.
Brooklyn's trying to acquire Kevin Love for some reason. Like, I think they went after Jared Allen, and Cleveland was like, no. Or, I mean, not Jared.
This is my thing. Like, what do they have left that they can give?
I don't know.
Like, you got rid of your
contracts. Right, because the contracts got to match. And they're trying to, who was the center? It wasn't Kevin Love by himself. They have a plethora of big guys in Cleveland after the acquisition of Jared Allen. Obviously, Andre Drummond is already there. People are just waiting for the moment that Andre Drummond
is
traded.
On the deal too. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think people are waiting for him to be traded, is because they believe he's the perfect asset to move before before it comes to an end. I like Hassan Whiteside, by the way. I think Hassan Whiteside in his obligatory like 10 minutes. You know what I mean? He doesn't seem to play much more than that very often. But I want to touch on Tyrese. We can get back to Hassan Whiteside in a minute. You mentioned the steal. He had a block in like a three-pointer in that win against the Knicks, which was so instrumental. And the guy they're trying to acquire for is JaVale McGee. Thank you for that on the Twitch chat. It was so instrumental in the Knicks winning. And you talk about, with Tyrese, everything we're talking about Tyrese is defensive intensity, defensive intensity, defensive intensity. Well, if one of the frustrating notes with Luke Walton as he's coaching the team is the team's maybe lack of attention to detail on the defensive end, or maybe it's the lack of intensity on the defensive end, isn't Tyrese the perfect guy to set that tone at tip?
One that you never gets talked about. You don't have to talk about it, right? That he's
right,
not
exactly
doing that ever.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'll put it out there. Right. You he's the one guy that you don't have to question in that regard. So if we're talking about setting a tone, and we're talking about setting, you know, this is the tone of the game, this is the direction of the game, I don't think you can do that when you're entering the game, you know, with 6 minutes to go. I just don't think that's something that you can do. I think that's where Tyrese being in the starting lineup comes into play. It's great for him to be there at the end, but that's only a factor if the game is close. If the game is close, it's not nearly as much of a factor. Or if the game isn't close, I should say, it's not nearly as much of a factor for Tyrese to be out there at the end of a game.
Right. So the question is on here, too. If you want to trade Buddy, does moving him to the bench hurt his value? I mean, maybe, but at that point, if you're moving on from him, you're moving it to clear the cap space and you're moving it to, right, to get off it. Like, it's...
that's a great question.
Because depending on what team he goes to, he could be coming off their bench too. Like, I have to see who it's with to know if it's even hurt his value, or I don't know what his value is.
That's the question I was just about to ask you. That's the question I was just about to ask you. What is his value in the first place? Like, we talk about hurting it or helping it. His numbers from last year to this year have gone down. His numbers from last year to the year before have gone down. It's been a steady decrease for the last 3 years. He's still got the contract extension. What does it ultimately mean? You know what I mean? What dollar figure, it's that game that circulates on social media where you build a team for $15 and like LeBron is the $5 player. I mean, what is Buddy the $1 player?
Right. I mean, at this point, his value is whatever you're combining in players to equal his contract at this point, because I mean, similar to what people trying to get Kevin Love, like it's only so many teams are going to be able to do it unless you're getting 3-4 team deals in, because you have to make the contracts work. And at the point, if they decide to trade him, it's either something they can't refuse, where it's I think they're trading it for another younger player, right? Someone closer to Fox's age, compared to an older vet. But then that creates you're going to have to take on an older vet with a younger contract too, because it's rare you're going to find someone like him that's also on the block. I mean, on the block essentially that equals, especially right now, what his value is. Because yes, we know it's decreasing, but right now it's still at its highest value.
I'm already waiting for the Buddy tweets. Here's another line. Here's another comment.
But Buddy. Like, I don't not like Buddy. I mean,
no, I'm with you. Yeah. I don't mind Tyrese starting as long as Luke staggers his in Fox minutes. If Luke doesn't, I don't like Corey being the only quote playmaker off the bench. I'm with that. Like, I get that. That's an issue that a lot of people have. And Corey Joseph is actually, I'd argue, much better when Tyrese Halliburton is out there with him. Yeah. Tyrese makes the people that he's playing with better. Whether it's the bench or the starters, he's making them better.
Right. But the thing is he's making them better, but him playing with the starters, just stat wise, they are making him better, if that makes sense. If you're looking just at numbers,
okay.
Based on the lineups of what he's used in,
mm-hmm.
I know everyone doesn't like the plus minus, but his plus minus is much better playing alongside Fox, Holmes, Barnes, that group, compared to playing with Corey Joseph and the bench, which shouldn't be surprising. I mean,
yeah.
But
that's why people hate plus minus. I get it. Like, I get the value of plus minus, but I also get why people hate it. And I think one of the reasons they hate it is because of like why you just presented it. Like, his numbers are better with more talented players.
There are times when he's out there on the bench and he's the only offensive hope out there, right? So he's not getting the assists. He's not, you know what I mean? Like, there's things where that he's down on because he's having to kind of do it all, which is crazy. But
Twitch line is joking. Yeah. I guess let's touch on this. It's a story, or maybe not a story, but a little bit of a rumor. By the way, for those who are just listening to the audio portion of this podcast, follow us on Twitch. It's at ESPN 1320. That's the name of the Twitch channel that we use. It's obviously the radio station I work for, at ESPN 1320. We're trying to grow something there, and this is part of the exclusive content that we have over there. But there's rumors around Lonzo Ball, J.J. Redick coming out of New Orleans. New Orleans, probably not where David Griffin. I don't think I'm stepping out on a limb looking at a team that's about 5-10 right now, saying that's probably not where Griff wanted to be. As this season got underway, they sang the praises of Stan Van Gundy today. At least Shams tweeted that. But Lonzo Ball being out there and J.J. Redick being out there. I've always liked Lonzo Ball, to be honest.
His defense is on point. It's just you're not getting off. To me, he's a younger Corey Joseph, right? In that sense where you know.
I think he's a lot defense, better, though.
But yeah, but I just mean like where you're not coming in expecting Corey Joseph to provide offense, right? Any extra he does, it's thank you. But I do think he's a younger, better version of what Corey Joseph used to be. I will say that. Where he's coming in and you know he can be a defensive stopper with you off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
JJ, I mean, he's a sniper, but he's also getting older. I mean, that's.
I mean, JJ's not coming here. JJ's not, I mean, like JJ.
But I can see that the Warriors, there's Warriors interest there where they were trying to get, I guess, JJ before. So they were looking at a Oubre, JJ Lonzo. But I would think if Redick got sent here, it'd probably end up being a buyout. I mean, there'd be.
Yeah, he's not going to come play here. Yeah,
it'd be like the Joe Joseph coming here and you're buying him out. Like,
yeah, that's exactly what it would be. It'd be the. It wasn't.
Or you do
was Jason straight. Terry a Sacramento King? Like it would be something along those
who
lines.
Who refused to come? Like, yes, yes.
Yeah, and I don't think JJ.
Yeah.
I don't think
Joe
JJ
Johnson
would refuse.
Was one. Joe
yeah,
Johnson
I don't,
was part of the one that got Shumpert sent here.
Oh, that's right.
And a bunch of people were mad because Crowder got sent to Utah, and we were like, we got sent the guy that wants to be bought out, and they got the three, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But we were, I mean, it was, yeah. So I could see it being something like that, where if you're involving a third team, but, and I mean, and we still haven't heard any more of them extending the roster, right? Wasn't there talk of them talking about going to 18-19, and then all of a sudden we haven't heard anything again?
I think the only thing that it was the two-way. I think it was the extra two-way position, which would take the roster, I think, to 18, right? Because we have two ways. I think there was an offer for a third one, and it's like, all right, is that okay? I guess all you're looking for, if you're Adam Silver, is bodies. You're looking to stay above the eight.
When you have
eight
teams consistently saying that they're right there but can't meet, which to me I thought was weird because they were saying that at the beginning of the year they talked about making it 19, right? And then they didn't. And you see how many games where they've had seven guys and they sure could have used those two extra bodies, right?
Yep. Yep.
At this point, everyone's using their 17. Like, I don't think there's anyone out there that hasn't had to or seen anything.
It's such a unique season. Like, are you down for this All-Star game that they're working on? That they're talking about having a potential All-Star game in March.
Here we go.
See, the dogs are
now
not happy
like
about the
here.
Like, how many dogs do you have? Jill is the dog lady. Oh my gosh.
The other ones are my brother.
Two
of them are my brothers.
Okay. Start calling Jill
the
dog lady.
And then I have two
lady.
In here. Yeah. But yeah, no, I know, right? Those are my kids, right?
That's all right. That's
I'm
okay.
I'm a dog mom.
Mom. I'm the same way. You know that.
So, but yeah, no, I'm not really a fan for anything right now of putting bodies in arenas.
And
you saw what happened today. They just had an NBA reporter, you know, passive COVID. Like,
oh man,
it's just, I mean, so sad. And to me, it's hard to hear them talk about that stuff when you're consistently having to cancel games and you're not adding more bodies to then be like, but hey, let's go do the All-Star game and let's go do this.
Yeah.
Like
you
can't
you're
even
not
figure out right now how to get all your teams to play. Like, focus on that first.
I get it
for the money stuff. I get it. There, it's revenue. But
it's not
your normal All-Star game.
Like,
right?
Like if you're not doing the dunk contest with the celebrities in the front row, just do the voting. Let the coaches pick. Right. Have All-Star teams, but just have a couple of days off. You could use it. You could use a couple of days off. You know what I mean? I think it's normally, what, Wednesday to, you know, Tuesday or something like that, or Thursday to Tuesday. Just take Thursday to Tuesday and keep it moving and do the selection. And hell, I don't know. You could pick teams, play 2K. People like watching video games. People like watching NBA 2K. Like, I'm not one of them, but some people do. So run it that way. Have some fun with it, man. I don't think playing games in Florida or Arizona or whatever, you know, state's going to let you in is the idea.
Yeah, I just don't know if the lackluster of the dunk contest, the 3 points, the skills, like playing in an empty...
With no reaction?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily be empty because we're letting a couple thousand people in those arenas right now.
LeBron showed out in front of like 3,000 people last night in Cleveland.
Right. My favorite was... it's Toronto because they were playing in Tampa. And I don't know if they were playing in Miami for that game or something, but Fred VanVleet yelled, someone was yelling at him, and he said, "Shut up and put your mask back on." Like, he totally was like, yelled at the guy.
They should, like, they should just...
like, "Don't worry about me. You be quiet and put your mask back on." But he was just like, really? Like, and it might have been own, like, fake Tampa fans, right? That, but it was like,
who even are you? Like, who are you even cheering here at this moment? But I think everybody should just go to Kansas City, because if you watched Arrowhead the other day, apparently COVID just has skipped over Kansas City, because they're throwing out these fake numbers of how many people were at Arrowhead. Dude, that place was packed. And it was very, very loud. So apparently COVID just skipped right over them. They should just do the whole season there.
I do like the idea in here where it said do what the Warriors have been doing, where they have that fan wall around.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
I like that. Similar to what they did in the bubble. Like, I like that, but it's a little bit closer. I'm sure that at this point the players would probably much rather have that rest, right? I mean, and you're seeing a lot of guys have to play more minutes than normal too, because they're down players. So this whole season, it's just really weird.
It gets difficult to enjoy, honestly, with all of this stuff. And then now with Cieco Smith passing, it's like, man, come on, like, what are we doing? And it's not just the NBA, it's everything. Like, when I saw the California stay at home order was lifted, I was like, wow, we were under a stay at home order. Huh? That used to be a big deal. That wasn't really a big deal this time. It's just like, yeah, okay, whatever, Gov. Like, whatever you say, bro. But, you know, hopefully we're getting closer. Like, my mom got vaccinated. She got the first
got their first. Yeah.
Yeah. So she got her first. She said it was super easy. So we're kind of monitoring how she feels. Hopefully. You know, I've been worried about her because she works with, like, elderly people. So, I mean, I don't know. All-Star Game probably isn't where the NBA needs to look, but...
Yeah, I mean, I know were talking about, too, similar to what the Super Bowl's doing, where they thought about inviting, like, vaccinated first responders and stuff like that. I mean...
Yeah, that's cool.
If you can do that, like, I get it.
Yeah, but you've got a problem in your league. Like, it's cool to do that. But you've got, like, it's the reason we're doing kind of a podcast covering a bunch of different topics, and that
we can't play Memphis.
There's no game, right? There's no game. We're eagerly waiting. You know, there's a game tomorrow, and then of course we'll be back post game on Friday. So yeah, I don't know. We appreciate everybody tuning in here on Twitch. We're gonna wrap things up here on the audio portion of the podcast. So make sure you subscribe, rate, and review if you're not following ESPN 1320 yet. On Twitch, go do that, because Jill and I will be doing these pretty regularly. We'll be doing some post-game shows as well, so go check us out there. Follow her at Jill Adge, me at Damian Barling. We appreciate you so much for being with us, and we will see you next time here on the Sacramento Kings podcast.